possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this evening to John chapter 14. And because there's a need of it, tonight I would like to speak on St. John 14:12, that we might gain a better understanding concerning the Scripture and the meaning of it in this hour. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, for your presence in this hour, for your great expression of yourself through your Son, your expression through the life of your prophet, for the obedience in his nature and the obedience of your Son, that we might recognize the pattern yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Father, to gain a better understanding of this Scripture, because it plagues so many. We pray, Father, you'd just be with us. May we relax around thy word tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Verily, verily, that means of a surety, I say unto you, he, not they, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he, not they, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, not they, but he, because I go unto my Father. Now, the Scripture is one that is not very well understood in the message. Many want to claim that for the bride, and then there are those who claim it alone for the prophet messenger William Branham. Tonight I would like to examine the Scripture in the light of the Word of God and message so that we can see what the real truth is behind it, because I think sometimes we just don't catch the fullness of a Scripture. You know, we see this thing says, he shall do these works, and we're focusing on the works, but that's not really what the focus should be. Now, there's much misunderstanding that comes from St. John 14:12, because many people think that it's the same as Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But you'll notice in the two different verses of Scripture, one speaks of they, and one speaks of he. Now, there's a vast difference between he and they, because one is singular, and one speaks of several or many. But John 14:12 speaks of him that believes, and this him shall do even greater works than what Jesus, the Son of God, did. However, in Mark 16, we see that it's not speaking in the singular, but it's speaking in the plural. These signs shall follow them. Them is plural and speaks of more than one. Now, when Brother Branham was quoting St. John 14:12 from the super sign, he said, many wanted to accept Jesus. They thought they'd do it in some other convenient time. One said, they wanted to accept Christ, but they put it off too long. Some of them tried to get him off their hands and tried to wash it off with water, pass the buck down to somebody else, but it backfired. But it's on your hands tonight, thrown right back into your lap. Hebrews 13:8, regardless of how many councils of churches we have, still remains that as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then Brother Branham, after quoting Hebrews 13:8, he begins to quote St. John 14:12, and he says, the works that I do. As St. John 14:12 is quoting. And then he says, and I'm going to get on to what he says in just a minute, but notice that Brother Branham says, many people want to accept Jesus. They thought that they'd do it in some other convenient time. And one said, well, they want to accept Christ, but they put it off too long. And some of them tried to get it off their hands and tried to wash it off with water, pass the buck onto somebody else. And that's exactly what we do when we pass the buck and say, well, John 14:12 is for Brother Branham. That's it. That's it. That's just all of it. So just look at Brother Branham. You got Brother Branham. He's an example. You got him. And what they're doing is they're passing the buck. They want Brother Branham to do their religion for them. And the fact of it is, we've been taught long enough, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. You see? So he says, they want to pass the buck, they want to get him off their hands, pass the buck on to somebody else, but it backfires every time. It's on your hands tonight, thrown right back in your lap. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the works that I do, and then he says, if his life is in you, it'll manifest Jesus Christ. And that is true. And he even says amen to that, to what he just said. But then he goes on to say, now you all can't be that one. But you can be part of that with your faith. So Brother Branham is telling us that St. John 14:12 speaks of one person. He says, you all can't be that one, but don't pass the buck. You see? Don't get your focus so much on that one that you fail to do or to be the person God wants you to be. You all can't be that one. Then notice what he says next. He says, all of them. Well, who's he talking about? All of them. He uses the word all of them. And what about all of them? He says, all of them couldn't be Jesus when they was on earth, but they could believe him and accept the message. Then we see Brother Rand become very definitive here. Notice he says, there was one Moses, one Elijah, one Noah, on down, always been that, but the rest of them could accept it. And they, now who's he speaking of they here? One Moses, one Paul, one William Branham, one Jesus, one Elijah. They wouldn't have had no ministry unless there was somebody that would believe it. Jesus wouldn't have had a ministry unless somebody believed it. Paul wouldn't have had a ministry unless somebody believed it. The Holy Ghost has got no ministry by the Word today unless somebody's willing to get away from their creed and come back to the Word again, no matter how well it's here and how real it's here. It's here now. I know it's here. I feel it. I know it's here. The Word says it's here. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm here in their midst. And I truly believe that he's here the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know what? If there wasn't somebody to believe it, they wouldn't have had a ministry. So you see, when you think of John 14 and 12, it's not just one. It's a ministry that is received as well. Now then, I want you to notice that there is one that God is dealing with here. It is not a universal message, but a one-man message. But you've got to wake up to what that message is. Because in Deuteronomy 29:29, it tells us the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which have been revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. What's the point in revealing? If there's no, you know, what is the purpose of revealing? Just to reveal? Remember Brother Branham got chewed out by the angel of the Lord. He said, you're making a show. Remember when the vision about the third pole and tying the string and the angel of the Lord said, you're making a show of it. Shame on you. It's not for a show. It's to bring something out. It's the revealing or the revelation is to do something for you and I. So the vessel that is doing is yielded to God. Is God doing? They're just stepping into the vision. And it's not so they can be somebody, it's so that you and I can benefit from it. So I want you to notice that there's one that God is dealing with here. However, when God reveals it, that thing that's revealed belongs to you, belongs to me, and to our children forever. So the whole purpose of the secret thing being revealed to us is that we may do all the words of the law. It sets us in motion. Now here's a key which I want to bring to our understanding tonight. And this is not going to be a very long sermon. But there is a difference between the works that I do and the motive and the objective in doing those works. That's what we fail to recognize when we see these signs shall, he that believeth the works that I do, Jesus said, shall he do also even greater. And Brother Branham says that's not like greater, like bigger, better miracles, but that's more of. Greater than these shall he do. And Brother Branham said, God did more in my ministry than he did in his son's. You see? But what is the purpose? What is the motive? What is the objective in the works? You see, John 14:12 is vindication. Now, why does God vindicate? To get you to listen. Now, right after Brother Branham was telling us that there could only be one Jesus, one Moses, one Paul, one Elijah, he then tells us that the objective for the works that these men did was to bring us to the place of recognition of the hour in which we live. He continues by saying, oh, if I could just get this little tabernacle. Now, I love you. I don't believe there's a man on earth that I could say that I loved any better than Jack Moore, and that's right, and Young Brown and Lyle, and these men here. I read an article today that Anna Jean wrote. I was going to ask her permission to reprint it again of the nice things that they said. And look, but if you don't wake up quickly, it's going to be too late. Now, here is the man who loved them, and he said, there's probably no other man that I know of that I can think of right now that I love more than you, brothers. But you better wake up before it's too late. Because I, the man, can't do it for you. I, the man. You know, they're expecting in this message Brother Brown to come back and speak people into the bride. It's not going to happen. You're either in the foundation, before the foundations of the world, predestinated to the adoption of children, or you're not. And if you're predestinated to the adoption of children, just talk about it. It's not good enough. To be predestinated to the adoption of children, you have to have the very mind of the Father. You have to be yielded. You have to step into what you are. If Brother Branham would have said, well, you know what? Hey, God's going to send a prophet. Malachi 4. Luke 17:30 is going to be the manifestation of the Son of Man through a Son of Man. Hey, I believe that. But if Brother Branham had not stepped into that, it would not have been him that manifested that. God would have taken someone else. Now you say, well, that's impossible because he predestined. Well, that's right. And we can say that, but we can also say this. That Brother Branham had to step into it. And you've got to step into your position. The rapture is waiting on us. Brother Ram said that many, many places. He said, God's waiting on you. You see? But we've got these thick-headed things that says, I can be what I want to be. I don't have to answer to that. I don't have to do this. Yes, you do. If you're a son of God, you will, or you're going to miss the mark. And miss the mark is sin. Okay? So, notice it continues. If I could get this tabernacle, I love you. And I don't believe there's a man on earth that I could say that I love any better than Jack Moore. And that's right. And Young Brown and Lyle and these men here. And I read an article today that Sister Anna Jean wrote. And I was going to ask her permission to reprint it again of the nice things that she said. But look, if you don't wake up quickly, it's going to be too late. The life tabernacle, I'm part of you. And that's the reason I cry out. Year by year, I find it cooling. You might not notice it. You live right in it. But stay on the field and then return back with the memories of the year before. Don't I tell you that out there in that little tent one night from this hour, what I'd say about Shreveport when that woman gave me a dirty write-up that time? Remember what I said that time about the United States 3 or 4 years ago, then run all through the paper, said, I said, this year the United States will accept the gospel or they'll never do it. Well, guess what? They didn't do it. That means they never will do it. They've declined since that time, and there'll never be a big revival in America no more. So if there's no big revival in America no more, there can't be one in America. And Brother Ram said, we haven't had the bride's revival yet. Guess what? Is it going to be in America? Huh? Big, proud Americans? Because God sent a prophet here, they think they've got it all. They don't realize they rejected it. I'm not saying you people. I'm just saying that's America in general. Okay. Now, this year the United States will accept the gospel or they'll never do it. They've declined since that time and there'll never be a revival in America no more like that. If you believe me to be a prophet, you remember that's the word of the Lord. See, just watch and see if it isn't dying. The churches are dying. They're withering away, and it kills me inside of me to know that men and women that I love better than I love my own life, that I've given my life, and I've come among you as brothers, not your God, your brother, not your enemy, your brother. I've told you the truth, and God's declared the same with every word that I preach. He's declared it to be exactly the truth. Then why not accept it, brother, sister? in the love of Jesus Christ. Why don't you accept it? If you'll just believe that to be the truth, just accept it to be the truth, that's all I ask you to do. And yet we find so many in this message thinking that St. John 14 and 12 applies to them in the same way it applies to William Branham, and that is so far from the truth. And because they do not understand the application of St. John 14 and 12 and how it differs from Mark 16, they want to fuss and fight about it. But I'm not here to fuss or fight. What I'm here to do is to try to help you, by the grace of God, to get a better understanding of the Scripture, that you might apply what the Scripture is all about. How many believe that what we have on tape is the voice of God to us? I do. You know, there's people in this message fussing about that. Well, brother, do you believe that William Branham, the tapes are the voice of God? Absolutely. Well, then you're anathema. Huh? Why do you think I listen to that as often as I can? Go to bed at night. Listen. That's the voice of God. It's going to change you. In the next quote, I want you to see how Brother Brown ties St. John 14:12 with Malachi 4. He ties it with Luke 17:30, etc. From the invisible union of the bride, he said, Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, St. John 14:12, Joel 2:38. Those promises is exactly like John the Baptist identified himself in the Scripture. So what's Brother Brown doing here? He's identifying himself with John 14:12. And we know he identifies with Malachi 4 and Luke 17:30. But see, a lot of people are trying to pull John 14:12 away from a prophet and make it applicable to everybody. Jesus identified himself. What did they say? Away with such a person. John's a wild man. The church wasn't able to receive it. That's the pattern. Neither will the church receive it today. But to the elect, God's calling, to the elected, they know it. Calling the virtuous bride, the Word, the last day church, the elected lady of our Lord Jesus Christ, Word. If Jesus is the Word, how many believe that? All right. Then the bride is always part of the bridegroom. So the bride will not be a denomination. It'll have to be the Word manifested to be the bride of Christ. He promised to do it. He said how he would do it. So we're looking at the manifested Word, not just an unfulfilled promise in this Bible. And let me say this, show me one ministry that has fulfilled St. John 14 and 12 with greater signs than what Jesus had. Show me one. There was only one since his day, and that was in William Branham, period. And I want you to notice further that the very purpose of God using that man to manifest that Scripture, that it was for a purpose. In Christ revealing his own Word, Brother Branham said, so we see the evening light, that is here. And what does it have to do? What does it do to have light? If you don't have eyes to see how to get around in it, what is the evening light? The lights come on to reveal something. Is that right? If there's something here you feel and you can't understand what it is in the darkness, then turn on the light, because the light is to reveal. What's Malachi 4 to do? See? The lights come to reveal something. Is that right? If there's something here that you feel and you can't understand what's in the darkness, then turn on the light. It's to reveal. What's Malachi 4 to do? See? Do the same thing. What was the opening of the seals to do? What are all the denominational staggerings around in this? It's to reveal, to bring out. If you haven't got any eyes, then what's the use to reveal? There has to be eyes first to see. Is that right? It'll reveal Malachi 4. It'll reveal St. Luke 17:30. It'll reveal St. John 14 and 12. Also, St. John 15:24 and 16:13, and also to reveal Revelation 10:1-7, the opening of the seals and the seventh angel's message to open and to reveal when the evening lights have come. So we see the ministry of Malachi 4 is to reveal, the same as St. John 14:12, to reveal. To reveal what? What God himself is doing in this hour. So the works that I do is not what you and I are to do, but was what one man, who believes, was supposed to do. And he did. And so we see much contention concerning this, because some want to have what they were not ordained to have. So let me tell you what the whole thing is about. Let me kind of lay it out in a simple way. There is a precondition to Malachi 4. Anybody have a problem with that? Brother Branham says there's got to be a word for season. There's got to be a man to manifest that word for the season. Okay, there is a precondition for Revelation 10, 1 to 7. The Lord himself had to come down. There had to be one standing here to receive the book, right? There is a precondition to St. John 14 and 12. Just as there was a precondition for all the scriptures that came to pass in their day. And what then is that precondition? There had to be the right man at the right time. There had to be the right vessel to step into the word that is spoken for that day. There had to be a vessel that was obedient to do that. And Brother Ram said, when God has a word for the season, the vessel God uses to manifest that word for the season becomes a manifested word for that season. So as much as you want to believe for St. John 14, 12 to be you, that you will do greater works, it just can't be done. That scripture has already been manifested in William Branham. We cannot be looking for God to say, let there be light, or for there to be light. There already is light. When God said, let there be light, it's already been manifested. He's already interpreted it. He's already brought it to pass. When he said, a virgin shall conceive, it's already been done. You can't be that one. Right? Okay. And it speaks of only one, not many. But as Brother Branham said, that one would not have had a ministry if there had not been ones, plural, to receive it. That's you and me. That's where we come in. So when God has a word for the hour that speaks of who you are, then you must step into that word for that hour to become manifest. Therefore, if Ephesians 1, 3 to 4 says that we are predestinated before the foundations of the world to be, or that we are predestined to the adoption of children, if you believe that word's for you, step into it. If you believe Romans 8, 29 says that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, step into it. You see, there's plenty of word to go around. Okay? So when God has a word for the hour, that speaks of who you are. Then you must step into that word for that word to become manifested. And when you do, you become that manifested word. And I've shared quite a bit on that concerning the spirit of adoption, because after all, if we do not have the spirit of an obedient son in us, then just forget it all. Because only obedient sons are going to be adopted. Now, for years I've been a staunch defender of John 14 and 12, only being for Brother Branham, that is true. If you're looking at the works ministry, period. Because John 14, 12 speaks of the works, i.e., says, the works that I do shall he do also. Which no man's ministry can even compare to Jesus' ministry until this hour in William Branham. And even more so, God did in his ministry than he did in his own dear son. However, our focus should not be the works, but the obedience. That is the precondition to the works being done. Obedience is the pattern which has been established for us. Because, let's face it, Jesus never did the works, nor did William Branham. It is God who does the works. Jesus said the Father's working, and the Son's working hitherto. In other words, he sees the vision, he just steps into it, and here's a vision, hand over here, here's a hand over here. He says, the person's over here in the chair. He goes over, walks to the person in the chair. When the vision, it's like having two eyes. When the eyes become single, it becomes one. Doesn't that what the Bible says? Your light, your body becomes full of light. If you have double vision, and if I see two Ron Zimmermans there, until you come together and become one Ron Zimmerman, I've got some troubles. And that's the problem we have. We see the message as being something different than what God sees it. We're not looking with his eyes. We have to step in and look through his eyes. What is this message for me? What is God trying to get across to me? You see? Anyone can deflect the responsibility of being an obedient son away from them and say, well, that was just for Jesus only, or that was just for William Branham only. And although that may be true concerning the greater works, but that is not how God views it concerning our obedience to him. We are ordained from before the foundation of the world to become obedient sons. We are ordained to be molded and conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That's your responsibility. His responsibility was Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, many other scriptures. Your responsibility is Romans 8, Ephesians 1, Galatians 4, Hebrews 7. We are ordained from before the foundation of the world, become obedient sons, molded, conformed to the image of the firstborn son, Ephesians 1, Romans 8. But we must gladly submit ourselves to our Father in all things that He shows us to do. Not greater works, but the little things is what we seem to leave undone. And it is the little things that you don't do that will put you out of the will of God. The Bible says the little foxes is what spoils the vine. Now we know that in the flesh, we will not be perfect in doing all that we're called to do. But in our heart, we can be perfect before God. How many times have you had somebody say, well, you did such and such, and you say, I never did that. In your heart, you weren't aware. They saw some action, and they took the action and said, it's against me. It's not against you. I wasn't even thinking of you. I might have said what you said, but I don't recall it. It wasn't in my heart. Certainly not the way you took it. You see? So in our bodies, we may fumble around like Brother Brown said, 700 instead of 7,000. We might slip here and there. But what is your motive? Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's in here. That's why Brother Brown said, you can have the right doctrine, but if your heart's wrong, what good is it going to do you? It all comes back to the heart. Even Martin Luther said, how shall a work please God if it proceeds from an unwilling and resistant heart? To fulfill the law, however, it is to do its works with pleasure and love, and to live a godly and a good life of one's own accord without the compulsion of the law. This pleasure and love is put into the heart by the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says that we're constrained. The love of God constrains you. What's a constraint? Keeps you from going where you shouldn't go. Keeps you from doing things you shouldn't do. The love of God will do that for you. Not God's love for you. The love of God. Your love for Him will keep you from doing things that your flesh wants to do. You see? That's why Brother Ram said that you could have the right doctrine, but if your heart is wrong, what good is it going to do you? God looks on our heart. That is why the Scripture tells us that the love of God constrains us. That means it is our motivator. As Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. In other words, my motivation, my source of energy, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. From paragraph 96, Brother Ram said of the spoken word's original seed, he said, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together with made a seed, and that made me. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God. It produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead and you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ, like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. But give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you, run him out and hollows you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more, it's God's life. Because it's God's word. Watering by the Holy Ghost will produce the same thing. You see it? I just love to preach on that a few minutes, but with 30, 40 pages of scriptures, I've only got three so far. Okay. So preacher, you say, what are you trying to say? Well, perhaps I'm not doing such a good job. But what it comes down to is this. Too many are placing too much emphasis on the man. That is what Brother Branham is saying here. And God cannot use the man, the body, the vessel, unless it has died to self. That's why Brother Branham said of Jesus, the body was not deity, but deity used the body. Deity dwelt in the body. And God cannot use the man, the body, the vessel, till it dies to itself. So when we focus too much on St. John 14 and 12, the works, and point to the works and the man, we're missing the God who's using the man. We're also missing the objective and the motive that the man was yielded. He had died to himself as an example that we might die to ourselves. You see, it is not him that runneth, nor him that worketh. So why should you be so focused on him that works the works, he that believeth the works that I do, when it says it's not him that worketh, but it's God. It's God that showeth mercy. So get your eyes off the vessel and onto the God using the vessel. There are too many who are focused on the bride, the bride, the bride. And they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. Because it is God, it is God, it is God. And he is what? He's the Word. The Word, the Word. Therefore, if the people had their focus correct, there would not even be a debate over St. John 14 and 12 of whether it is one man or many. Because it matters not what vessel or vessels God uses, it is God doing it. That is why if your focus is wrong, you will take John 14 and 12 as a church universal when it is fulfilled in one man. He that believeth, not them that believe. And the same ones who take this wrong will also misinterpret this next quote that I'm going to give you from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham speaks of the expression, how God was in Christ expressing himself to the world. And he is focusing on the way that God has always expressed himself through many different vessels. And he's speaking of the God life that was in Christ and the God life that was in Moses. And he was speaking of how God expressed himself in Christ his Son and in the pillar of fire and how he wants to express himself in his children. But many take this next paragraph, in paragraph 87 of Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and try to produce a doctrine that the fullness of the Godhead himself, the very person of God, Elohim, is now in his church. But listen to the quote. Because I'm going to read what he says here, and then I'm going to go back and read what he says right before he says this. He says, I want to coast just a little bit so that even people listening to the tape will get the idea that can see. So Brother Branham is saying, it's very important what I'm going to tell you, but I hope you're catching what I've already told you. Because if you're not catching what I've already told you, and I'm kind of coasting right now so you can catch up. Your mind can kind of catch up to what I'm saying. Then he goes on to say this thing, because look, if it hasn't caught up, if your mind hasn't caught up to what I'm saying, you're going to get it wrong. That's what he's saying. And how many people will skip the previous thoughts that he says and go right to this quote and say what he says here, and then they've got a wrong context for what he's saying. Okay, here he says it. He says, it would take me around and around the clock just each one of these subjects, but I hope I'm making it clear enough that you can see what I'm coming to. See? God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice, he doesn't say who was all three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He was both Father, which is the Holy Ghost, and Son. Because God was in his Son. You understand what I'm saying? There, in other words, a dual being. Okay. Now the complete, he says, now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminences. Now if you take that by itself and run with it, you're going to say God is in his church. Brother Branham said that's Catholic. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the church. The believer, not denomination. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And it'll take it out of your mind forever. See, show you what caused that by the help of God, if you'll just permit it unto us. So in looking at this quotation standing all by itself, you might think that William Branham taught that Elohim, God Almighty, the very person of God, is now in the church as he was in Jesus. But that is not what he is saying at all. Listen to the two previous paragraphs that he's speaking, and you will catch what he's now saying. Because he paused to let what he had said sink in before he continued with that thought. So let's go back and read what he said, beginning paragraph 84. Moses and his intellectuals, he had to lose them in order to find Christ. So he's talking about Moses, a man who had to lose what he had, his own thinking, everything, so that he could find Christ, the anointing. To be a prisoner. Then when God got all the world beat out of him, and all the mighty man that he was, and stand in the presence of that pillar of fire that day, he was found just speechless. He didn't even he couldn't even talk. He said, God had a prisoner then, see? You won't try after your own searching. Then God had to endue this man, endow him with power enough that he could go down there. And he said, Lord, I told Pharaoh what you said, and he wouldn't do it. He said, then take this thy rod, God speaking now, that's God's word. Go out there and point it toward the east and call the flies. And the flies came into creation because he had a prisoner that Pharaoh couldn't pay off with nothing. Nobody else could turn him, no way. He was a complete prisoner in the chains of God's word, bound up wholly to thus saith the Lord. Oh, if God can get his prisoners, plural, like that. So Brother Branham is talking about an obedience to the Father. To all the word, because God is the word. Paragraph 85. Now, that's when he can express the preeminences. You see? He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. Like Brother Branham said, well, they know all about Davy Crockett. They know all about, you know, Daniel Boone. But they don't know nothing about Christ. Oh, we all know about princes dying and all these other things. But how much do we know about Christ? Where is our focus in this day? He's got the man or the prisoner so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, his bride. That he could have the preeminences to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people. Talked with them. Fellowshiped with them. See, he didn't say in them. With them. And now sin and death had separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Do you read it before the foundation of the world to express all of his attributes, what he was? So Brother Branham says sin separated them from God being able to express himself using their vessel. Sin did that. Unbelief. Wrong focus. So what he's talking about then is that if God could just get us to the place where we could have the right focus, then perhaps, and die to self, and have no thought coming, then God could use you. Not indwell you as Elohim in Christ, because only one person was the fullness of the Godhead ever in, and that was Jesus Christ. But as William Branham, he said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. Jesus never said, you know who I'm waiting for? God was in Christ reconciling the world. Brother Branham said the fullness of the Godhead wasn't in me. He said, I have a measure like you have a measure. But Jesus had it without measure. So we see that the purpose of God is to use your body. But first you have to die to yourself. Then God will use your body to speak his word, to do his work. Not you doing it, but God doing it. If you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ, you see, that is why we hear him saying God's only provided a place of worship. He says, no leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Not in you, among you. Couldn't do it in Luther's age, couldn't do it in Wesley's age, couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age, but in the day when the Son of Man will be revealed, revealed back to the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifesting on earth in the form of a prophet God. Oh, glory. Promised in Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the scriptures, where you worship at? The house of God, seated in present tense. Now quickly, let us look just real fast, and we'll be about 10 minutes. We'll be gone, the Lord willing. Now, let us look at some that has been quickened into this house of God, other age, Enoch. In 10 minutes, we'll go. Now, if you can just suffer that much longer, look, Enoch was the living word of God in his age. He was a prophet. A prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So what does the reflector do? If I have a mirror pointed in this direction, and I have the light coming from this direction, is it going to reflect? But if I have the light coming from this direction, and the mirror is facing the light, it's going to reflect it. And so if the light's coming from here and I want it to come to you, I have to angle that in the right way so that it's going to anoint you. You see what I mean? With that light. So it's got to be lined up to the light. And what's coming off of the mirror isn't the mirror. It's not the man. John 14:12 is not William Branham. I'm sorry. It's the light. It's God. He doeth the works. The Son can do nothing but what the Father shows Him to do. Then the works is not the man. The works is God using a yielded vessel that has died to itself. Showing that brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst His people, showing the same visible signs, manifesting Himself like He did at the beginning when He was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet God. Oh, glory. Promised in Malachi 4, promised in the rest of the scriptures, where you worship at, the house of God, seated in present tense. Okay, the reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with that reflection. God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he had to eat the scroll. He had to reflect that Word for that age. You got it? And you know the Bible says it in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. When we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same glory, into the same opinion, into the same values, into the same judgments, from image to image. Like Brother Vail preached years ago, 1983 and 84, twice he preached. Called Omega Reflection, 20th century Omega Reflection. Talk about how when Moses came down from the mountain, his face glowed because he had been in the presence of God for 40 days. His face was so glowing that the people got scared. They asked him to put a veil over his face. He said, had the people just stood there long enough in that presence of Moses, with that glow coming from them, because it wasn't him. Because remember, Brother Ram said, the reflector, what comes out, the reflection isn't the reflector. What they saw on Moses' face was the Shekinah glory. And had they stood long enough in that Shekinah glory, they would have begun to glow as well. I like that. So if we can just lay in the presence of the sun long enough to ripen, then what's going to reflect from you? It's not going to be you. It's going to be God. Brother Ram even said, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. That's what that reflector wanted to be. That was his will. But it's the will of my Father that I desire to do. Sounds a little bit like Jesus, didn't it? Not my will, but thy will be done. Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but thy will be done. I wasn't the one who appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I am not the one who foretells these things as perfect as they are. I'm only near when he does it. It's not me, I'm just the voice that he uses. It's not what I know, it's what I surrendered myself to. You're not feeding on a man, his words would fail. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. There's your reflection. Now Webster tells us a reflector is simply a person or thing that reflects. But that definition doesn't really help us to understand what a reflector is all about, does it? But it points us to the fact that Brother Branham said a reflector does not give off its own light, but reflects the light of another. Brother Branham said the reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. And that is what Webster says. A reflector is simply a person or thing that reflects. So then we must ask ourselves, what is it about the reflector that causes it to reflect? We can see that not everything can reflect. In fact, that is what the stealth bomber is all about. Is made in such a way as to cause as little reflection as possible. And so its designer had to be able to understand all about the reflective properties that cause a vessel to be able to reflect in order to be able to make one that will not reflect. And so I've talked to some of the designers. Brother Joe Fazen was a designer on the stealth fighter, stealth bomber. And he said there's three basic principles. He said there's electronic deflection, that you take the signal coming in and you scatter that signal and in order to do that, you have to have the design, has to have no sharp angles so that everything's deflected away. No flat surfaces. So it's all these rounds and curves and stuff deflects it away. You have to have a skin that will absorb some of that. I don't remember what the third one is. No, shape, skin, and electronics. Then you have electronics that receives a signal coming at a certain speed, sends it back broken up at different speeds. So when they send the signal up there, what comes back looks like a flock of birds. Small little broken up pieces. They can't see the object. Okay? So then we must ask ourselves, what is it about a reflector that caused it to reflect? Because we know that not everything can reflect. In fact, that's what the stealth bomber is all about. It's made in such a way as to cause as little reflection as possible. And so its designer had to be able to understand all about the reflective properties that cause the vessel to be able to reflect in order to be able to make one that will not reflect. And in their case, the thing that reflects are radio waves, electronic signals, and even light rays. In order to make the stealth invisible, it had to be able to redirect as many of those waves and rays as possible. And so there are three basic areas that had to be designed into it. So we're looking at the vessel that God has gotten itself out of the way to the place, as Brother Branham said, that you don't have any thought coming. I think it's interesting that in politics they have guys that are, what do they call them? Spin doctors. They can take what's said and deflect it in such a way that you can't understand what the guy said. And that's their purpose. Because they might have said something really stupid and they deflect it, so it just kind of goes off into many different directions and you can't focus in on it. Now, Brother Brown said from oneness, he said, what is it? You've got to get with the word, get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, have received the Holy Ghost, but we have just received enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie, we don't want to steal, we don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of His church. He wants to fill your thinking. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you, just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your own thinking, just so surrendered in God till it's His Word just living right out through you. You don't know nothing else but what God's Word says. Just stay right with His Word. It is life. My words are life, said Jesus. He's placed with them teachers believing the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say, show the same prophecy that they always did down through the ages. What's He done? He's showing Himself alive among us, confirming His Word. His Word, the kingdom of God, is God's Word made power. And in closing from the Spoken Words Original Seed, paragraph 87, he said, all right, we notice then, see, the spoken word, then we are God's Word made manifest. That's how God wants His church, is to manifest Himself. How can He manifest Himself unless His own seed is in that person? How can you use your thoughts and God manifest Himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this or that, today's miracles, you know. How do you do that and then be manifested sons of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accepted Him as my Savior. No, you didn't. No, you don't. You say that you do, but you don't. Your works prove what you are. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, because Your Word is so true. Help us, Father, as Paul said, to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we're living, yet it's not us that are living, but actually that Christ is living in us. And the life that we now live in this flesh, we live by His faith, who trusted in Thee. Help us, Father, to die to self. Help us to get ready for the going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The brothers will bring forth the elements at this time. If we'd open our Bibles to John chapter 13.